Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you will be inspired, uplifted, and motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. In today's episode, we'll be hearing from a special guest who will reflect on his own story and journey, if you will. With me today is a professional saxophonist and musician who was born in Guyana and raised in the tropical island of Jamaica. This man is a renowned international recording artist whose presence spans across the Caribbean, the US, Europe, and other parts of the world. When he plays, you get nothing less than sensation. And you can tell from the smoothness of his artistry that he's definitely born to do this. They call him the smooth sax man. He has not only taught at the Edna Malley College of the visual and performing arts, but this man that I'm talking about was also an adjunct music lecturer at Oakwood University. I speak of no other than Courtney Fadlin. By the way, you can find his music on various streaming platforms such as Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, Deezer, and might I add Instagram. Whenever you're sharing your stories, Courtney Fadlin is also among the list of artists to choose from to enhance your Insta story. Welcome, Courtney, and thank you so much for deciding to be a blessing to someone in the world today via this podcast, Reflections. And I look forward to our conversation today.
Thank you, Nadine. Thank you. It's good being here. Thanks for the invitation.
So we are here to talk about Courtney's experience. So,
hey.
Go ahead.
Courtney's life, Courtney's experience. Well, yes, I'm a saxophonist and I'm a lecturer, I'm a performer, I'm a motivator. I hope your audience will be inspired, even if one person is inspired by something that I'll say, make a difference in their lives, you know. I've been doing this for quite a while. Maybe some of your listeners would have heard of me, and many would not have known or heard of the name Courtney Fadlin. But anyway, it's good to be here. I remember meeting you outside of the music department, and you said you wanted to sing. But hey, it's not too late, man.
I don't think that's on me. I think I have enough talent working with
Hey, you can sing, you could entertain yourself.
Of course I do. I sing here and there in little small groups, but I wish I could sing, Courtney. I really wish I could sing, but it's just not for me.
Well, you know, I can hold a note. And
I'm sure.
Contrary to what some may believe, a lot of musicians can't sing. Instrumentalists can't sing. Yeah. The problem I have, I can't remember lyrics.
So you have to make sure you have your paper on that, right?
Yeah. But when I was in college, when I was at Berklee, I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston, and I took a voice class. And my teacher was quite impressed, you know, and I felt great because it was a bunch of instrumentalists in the class. And I remember that the day of my exam, my singing exam, I forgot some of the words, and it became a joke in the class because I just started making up my own thing and ad-libbing, and you know, hey, it's music. So I don't feel bad, you know. My first inspiration comes from my dad, really. My dad being a musician and not much of an artist. He was a performer, but not, he didn't take it quite to the level that I have taken it. But he's a known lecturer in Guyana and in Jamaica as well. And he taught in California and in the Bahamas, in Nassau. So I always wanted to be like my dad, not really knowing what it all entails to becoming a professional musician or a teacher. But I just, you know, you just say, hey, I want to be like my dad. And I know growing up in Jamaica and Guyana that there's not a whole lot of stuff that I used to hear that, oh, you could be an engineer, you could be this. It was either a pastor, a teacher, a nurse. not much of even being a doctor or stuff like that. Not that I would have gone that way, but there's so many things that you could have done, but persons didn't say it. But one of it that they wouldn't really say is music, you know? So, yeah.
Did your father also play the sax?
Yeah, my dad plays multiple instruments. He would have been the first person that I've ever seen or heard play a saxophone. My dad plays sax, violin, clarinet, trumpet, piano, organ, trombone, everything. But growing up in Guyana, I started doing piano lessons. I did pan. I sang in the choir at school, at church. So music was very important. I grew up seeing some of my cousins. They had a band. They actually made their own instruments. I used to go around as a kid looking at what they were doing. I remember another one of the pop bands from one of the mining towns in Guyana would come and perform. And as a kid, whenever they're tuning up in the evening time, I was allowed to go and just sit and listen to the band, you know? But moving to Jamaica and my dad being the head of the band at Western East College, now Northern Caribbean University, I was introduced to the clarinet. And I recall one Saturday when I was supposed to play in church, my clarinet would not work. And my dad, rather than thinking something was wrong with the clarinet, he said it was my fault. It was me. Nothing was wrong with the instrument. Because he's this perfect guy, you know, so nothing is wrong with the instrument. It's you. However,
interesting.
He had a tenor saxophone and he said, okay, the notes are similar. The same, is it the same the morning or the night before? Something like that. And I end up playing, and I remember the song too. When Israel, da 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 da, let my people go. Da 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 da.
I
can't remember the words.
It's a nigger spiritual.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Pharaoh. So that's what I had to play.
It's a beautiful song, I have to say. But when we were talking earlier, you did mention that you went to Berkeley to do...
I'm going to get to that.
Right. Okay. I don't want to interrupt you, but what I wanted to ask is that you have such a lovely voice. Why didn't you sing as well?
No, that's not my thing. I you know, you have to know your limitations. You know, in today's society, a lot of people like to do things. What I say? Stay in your lane. Right.
Anyway.
So I don't want to go there. I do a better job at playing sax and... But anyhow, being in Jamaica, I never wanted to study music, but I was a track and field star and I had to make a decision based because of my religion, which was very hard on me because I used to eat, sleep, drink, track and field. That was my thing. And I wanted to study physical education at the GC Foster College.
Yes.
And another interest that I had was to study at the agricultural school in Portland because I love farming. My grandfather, my dad's dad is, we call him Palawala, St. Lucian. My grandfather was a very big time farmer, they would say, in Guyana, moved from St. Lucia to Guyana. And so I love farming. Even here in the States, I don't know if you've seen me, my kids, we plant, man. Even right now in my freezer, you'll find scallion, right?
I was just about to say, it is a business that you can do on the side of the music.
It's
an entrepreneur.
You know, this is something I've been talking to my wife about going back home and do farming. I really like it. So I wanted to do between farming and being a physical education teacher and a coach. I remember when my parents left Jamaica, I got pretty close to the Allens, Dr. Allen and Georgie Allen. I call my adopted parents. And I remember visiting some friends of mine home, as I usually do. I remember one day when I went in the boys' room, there was a big poster on the wall, on the door, that says Berklee College of Music, and it had a picture of Quincy Jones. And of course, Quincy Jones graduated from Berklee back in the, 50s? Can't remember. And I was like, wow, it wouldn't be awesome to go to Berklee. So I knew. So I started investigating about Berkeley. I wrote the school. Those were the days when you had to write. And then...
Can I say something right there as you mentioned that, because it's very interesting. When we speak into the universe, the things that we desire, because right then and there, you said, wouldn't it be nice to go to Berkeley? So you desired it. You're owning on that dream and desire to go to Berkeley. And then eventually it became a reality. And I just want to say to someone out there today that whatever your dreams, whatever you hold dear to your heart, it can and it will still come to pass. Keep dreaming, keep moving towards that dream or ambition that you have.
Yeah, God does some amazing things, because God placed people in your lives, in our lives, for a reason, sometimes only for a brief moment. But Berkeley, it's a world-renowned school for music. I wanted to just be a part of this great family. So I applied to the school, and I still have my acceptance letter. I look at it. And I could recall when my name came out in the Jamaican newspaper, about two different news media, and it says, Jamaican student accepted at the world's renowned Berklee College of Music.
You were destined to be a star.
Yeah, it was a challenge coming at first, you know, because for those of us, you know, when you go to the embassy and various challenges. But one thing that I never did, I never got discouraged. So I don't know, even now my wife would say to me when certain things happen, she said, but you're not showing any emotion. I said, don't get too excited about things because anything could happen. So when I got through to go to school and I wasn't given the visa to come at the time to study, and persons not knowing my story thought that I was being worthless. I didn't want to go to school because it was already in the newspaper. I was given a part tuition scholarship, not a full scholarship. And, you know, Dr. Allen, they took care of the rest. And I can recall when I went and I got my visa and I called Mandeville and I said, Aunt G, my adopted mama said, I got through. I just have to wait for my visa. And she said, but it's about time. And by the time I got back to Mandeville, she purchased my ticket. And she said, I'm sending you off to school. But it was a challenge for me because when I got here to the States, my parents they had moved here because they left Jamaica to Haiti, teaching at a university in Haiti, and then they moved to the States. But my thing was not coming to the States to stay. Right. I wanted to go back to Jamaica because I'm one of those persons that believe in, was it paying it forward, transferring what you have learned. So when I got here, my part tuition scholarship, and I get whatever monies and stuff, I got help. Things didn't go according to plan. You know, most of us take, in normal circumstances, we take 4 years to 5 years to get your first degree. But I remember when my GPA dropped and I lost my scholarship. During that time, I did my first album. So rather than graduating in 4 to 5 years, I took 10 short years to get my first degree. And it's important to know that because of course, when I got here, while my parents were here, my papers still wasn't sorted out. So you are an international student. So you're only allowed to work a certain amount of hours and stuff. So the money wasn't there for me to complete my studies. But I want you to know that it took me a while, never gave up, always keep, every time I was like, yeah, I'll be in school in September. September came and it never happened until I was able to get back into school and I finished, you know, did my master's eventually, did a second master's, and then I started the doctorate recently, which is not really my thing. But I'm just saying this to say to never give up, have hope, believe in yourself. And if you're a praying person, you pray. Along the journey, we're going to meet persons who are going to listen to your story. There are people who are going to be there to give you a helping hand. There are persons, they're capable of doing it, but they're not going to do it for you. I'm a recording artist, and I choose to do gospel music. Well, I call it gospel jazz. It gives me great joy doing that, bringing comfort to individuals, giving them hope. And it's not just about playing music, but I'll tell my story, what that particular song may be saying to you me personally.
Right.
And as you listen, you can tell what it's doing to me because it's going to come out in my music, you know, the expressions and the way something might even see tears coming because of the emotions that comes through from that particular piece of music. So persons have to know that you got to believe that you're capable of doing things. It's not easy. It's not easy.
Right. But tell us how your life as a musician transitioned during those 10 years.
During that 10 years, I started recording. A friend of mine that went to Western East College, he said to me, why don't you do an album? And persons would ask you, why don't you do an album? And I was like, album? And that's before it became so easy to the recording. Right now, persons could just send a few grand and they could do a little home studio. And it's not going to be great like some people. It depends on what you spend, but it's much easier to do an album now than say 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. All right. So it wasn't something that I saw possible. And then a friend of mine, he said, get some figures and I'll pay for your album. So that's how I did my first album. I was all over the place with that. That was during my school time, first album. It was very successful.
Do you remember the year?
92 it came out. So I was one of the first guys, everybody in Jamaica was excited in the Caribbean that I did this. I was one of the first guys at a church guys, so to speak, local guys with an instrumental album. So I've done my thing. I've inspired a lot of individuals and continue to inspire people to do music. One of the things I think I was mentioning before we started recording, I remember when I came to the States, I became friends with some guys, a musician, and I went to his home and his dad said to me, so what are you studying in college? I said, music. He said, so your parents allow you to study music? I was quite offended when he asked me if I could take care of a family doing music. But I said, well, my dad has been a music teacher all his life. And he took care of his family. He's not rich. The only reason I didn't really tell this guy off because he was a pastor and I was in his home. Yeah. But, it was offensive to me. Whatever we do, we play an important role. Everything that we do, everyone comes together. It's a union, you know. You got a plumbing problem and you call those guys at like $75 an hour. They spend 20 minutes, right? Can you imagine being locked away for 2 months with no music?
It's interesting. You made a very important point because this is where a lot of parents go wrong. They see as a particular talent in their child or children, and they try to steer that child in the direction of their own ideology. What parents fear to do sometimes is to capitalize on the passion or the talent that they see in the child and move away from personal biases or what you call prejudice towards a specific path. Because even though music has its challenge, it is a path. Through music comes a lot of messages that shape politics, that shape culture, that shape how individuals think.
Music is everything, man. Music is life.
Exactly.
You're going through giving birth. You want music to soothe the whole situation. Some people use it in lovemaking. You lose it to praise and worship.
Right.
You're driving down the road and all you get is your music. There's nobody else. Some people might pray and play music. It's a very vital part of our human existence. If you go back to the Bible days, we talk about music. People get sick. They call you to play music. And one of the things that I personally do in my prayer life that I ask God, that anyone that comes into contact with my music, if they're hurting spiritually, physically, emotionally, that it would do something for them. I remember my mom said to me not too long ago, maybe in the last 15 years, that she got pregnant at a young age. with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you an only child?
No.
Okay.
I have several siblings. And when she got pregnant, her friends said, you know, listen, you're a young woman. You got to get rid of this baby. I'm listening to this story. This is all got to do with who I am. And they said, here, take this. So as a young girl, young lady growing up in the church, you know that you have done something according to your beliefs and what your understanding of the Bible and what it is that God would prefer you to do or to be, that you have committed this sin. And so she's like, why should I get rid of this child while I've already committed this sin? Why should I commit another one?
That's a very good question.
So as she relayed the story to me, I laughed. But as I was driving back to my home, I started crying. I was like, wow, what is my story? Had she done what her friends had encouraged her to do, there would have been no Courtney Fadden here talking to Nadine today.
Absolutely.
So
there had to be a Courtney.
Man, so when I think about...
But can I confess something to you before you go on? Because I've never told you this before. There was a particular year when Andrew's SD in Jamaica had Music Day. And I remember you were one of the lineups on the program. And when you played that day, I stood up. I had no words. The sensation I got from the instrument that you were playing that day, the saxophone, I tell you, I was truly blessed, I have to say. So you had to be here.
Yeah, I remember that day. I remember the Music Day. It was a grand day. Yeah, so we all have a purpose, but it gives me great joy to share, and that which I have is my experience. What I can encourage individuals to do is to have staying power, be prayerful, and there's power in collaboration. Like right now, I'm doing my 9th instrumental album. And
interesting, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. But one of my main arrangers is in Jamaica. His name is Alex Martin Blanken, and Alex and I go way back, and so I tend to go back to Jamaica and record most of my stuff. You know, I have musicians there because I believe in them, and I realize that I'm an inspiration to many young sax players in Jamaica and Guyana, wherever. I'm collaborating with some guys from Cuba. Never been to Cuba. I'm fascinated with the music culture of Cuba. I like what they do. I'm excited about just fostering good relationships with persons.
It's possible that other musicians or aspiring musicians may be listening, and so I would love for you to share what are some of the challenges that you've experienced along the way, and whatever advice you have, you could share.
You have to first ask yourself if this is what you really want to do. So I would assume that they're already in the music field. There's so many things, you know, you need to be able to first be committed. You have to be committed, because it's not a come today and leave tomorrow. Some people get pretty lucky and they could be discovered overnight, but it's not a reality for 94-95% of us, you know. Some of us, it takes a lifetime.
Mm.
And it can get frustrating at times. But so it's just to believe in what you want to do. If you want to do a recording, hook up yourself with good arrangers, because that's what's important. It took me a while to really start getting into that, but be consistent, have good producers, good arrangers, and ask questions, collaborate, because there's power in collaboration, you know, and don't be a one-man show and think that you can do it all. Some people may, or some individuals may be able to do that, but for others, you have to really get the help of others. And able to share. So rather than making a dollar, you may only make 50 cents. And that's okay. It's better to make 50 times a million or 1,000 versus doing 100 times just 50, you know. During the pandemic, you know, it was a very rough time in 2020, when this whole COVID thing started, it was a rough time for a lot of us musicians. You were confused. I was lying in my bed every day just thinking, what is it I could do to change this situation? Because you can't go anywhere. I had several performances booked. I was supposed to come to Germany. I was supposed to go to Africa, Guyana, Jamaica. I was so excited. I just came back from Guyana. And I was looking forward to 2020. You know, it was like, yeah, this is my year to do this. And I had a lot of stuff set up. And then I find out I can't travel. Mm. And I was like, man, so for a good portion of 2020, I didn't even make $20. But then I remember my friend, Keith Morris, Pastor Keith Morris, called me up and said, hey, what are you doing Saturday? I said, nothing. So you want to do an online concert? I was like, yeah. And then I called him back. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it by myself. I'm going to be calling some friends. And I had a barrage of friends on. But it was a platform for me to be seen and heard, to inspire people. And then it was a network situation too, or is, because we're still doing the concerts. Somebody may not have heard of Courtney Fadlin, right? But because the artist from Trinidad invited persons to come on the platform, they hear Courtney Fadlin, vice versa. It's been a blessing, of course, now that in the States we could start traveling again. Just giving thanks, man.
I'm really impressed by your story, Courtney. And while you were there talking about being at home and no income or no avenues of income coming through, it dawned on me that if we don't love what we do or have passion for what we do, we're going to quit when the tough time comes. COVID was a surprise to many of us. We never saw it coming. It hit us all by surprise. And it has certainly impacted our income level and our flexibility to do life or we're accustomed to doing life. But at the end of every tunnel, there's a silver lining.
Yeah. So I just want to encourage, in addition to all those things I mentioned before, is one of the things, carry yourself properly. Dress well. It doesn't matter what genre. Yeah, you got to carry yourself well. So people should always see. They shouldn't have to read into the way you carry yourself. So even though you may be going through pain, you still have to smile. Invest in yourself.
Good advice, Gordon. You know,
don't believe in mediocrity. If you know that in order to get a good sound, I need to buy a good saxophone, I need to buy a good flute, I need to take voice lessons, invest in yourself, because ultimately you want to make this a career path. It's okay to support other artists, and don't believe that you can do it all by yourself.
Thank you so much, Courtney. I really appreciate you stopping by today in the Reflection Studio, if you will. And you basically summed up everything that you just said. Dress the part, invest in yourself, network, support other artists along the way, and do not embrace mediocrity.
Yeah, and if anyone, just to put this in, if anyone wants to book me, just go on CourtneyFadlin.com and our bookings at CourtneyFadlin.com, or my email address is CourtneyFadlin.com. You know, you could check me out. I have a few videos on YouTube. Yeah, man. Call me up. You're looking for music lessons. You're looking for whatever it is. Call me up. If you just want to talk, check me out. You just want some advice, I'm not even going to charge you for the advice. Just call me up. I'm here to motivate somebody.
I will surely include in the link below all the information that you need to know about Courtney.
Thank you. Thank you, Nadine.
Thank you so much for listening to Reflections. Join me next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.
Take care, guys.